Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to RCR, Raising Consciousness Radio, with your host, crisis dramatist, playwright, life coach, NLP master practitioner, and independent filmmaker, Phyllis Helene, as she empowers humanity to raise their consciousness with family-oriented dramatic plays that honor the power of choice.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Raising Consciousness Radio, with me, your host and crisis dramatist. I am Phyllis Helene, and today is Friday, December 12th, 2014, and I'm coming to you live from the East Coast, the DMV area. Let's take time to raise our consciousness. And the topic always on the table, how do we empower young adults to stand on excellence? And today on our show, my guest is author Cynthia Sue Lawson, transformational speaker, best-selling author, author of Quantum Jumps, an extraordinary science of happiness and prosperity, and life coach whose passion is inspiring people to become conscious reality shifters. Cynthia has been featured in numerous TV and radio shows, and her favorite question in any situation is, how good can it get? Cynthia received a BA degree in physics from UC Berkeley, an MBA degree from San Francisco State University, and we will bring Cynthia in shortly. Once again, I am Phyllis Helene, your crisis dramatist, and the topic on the table, how do we empower young adults to stand on excellence? Well, I decided to contribute to the empowerment of helping young adults to stand on excellence by creating literary work, family dramas. And as a crisis dramatist, I write about issues that plague our culture. I see the results that stem from various crises that harm the growth of humanity and society. I create storylines that implement the crisis. I put characters into difficult situations and circumstances that center around a particular crisis, and I make the characters struggle hard to find a solution, and I present difficult lessons for the characters to learn from. I created plays as a catalyst to help young adults value human life, to help young adults operate on a higher level of being. And you always hear me say that I believe playwriting is an art form that can create a moral change. And sometimes a visual, such as a dramatic play, it can have an impact on life decisions and choices. Plays help people think. Art changes things. Now, I wrote the Raising Consciousness stage play collections because I could see that there's a crisis attacking many of our young adults today. And that crisis is the lack of understanding power of choice, the lack of understanding the power of choice. Now, the first play that come out of the Raising Consciousness stage play collection is titled Don't Lose Your Head. And it's a story about a family who struggled to deal with the emotional residue left behind after a tragic accident caused by a negative choice, lies, alcohol, and teen drinking and driving. Now, once again, our author today is Cynthia Sue Lawson. And as I stated, she is the author of Quantum Jumps. So she's going to talk to us about welcoming the quantum age, experiencing the quantum realm, and, you know, quantum jumping. And I think this is a wonderful topic that can help adults as well as young adults stand on excellence. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring in Cynthia Sue. Gentlemen, we're going to bring in Miss Cynthia Sue Lawson. Cynthia, how you doing? How are you today?
Wonderful. I sure love what you're doing with helping young adults. I think that's the best thing we can do as a civilization right now on the planet. I can't even think of anything better.
Wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, quantum, I read about a good portion of your book, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, all this knowledge coming at me, it's a lot. So let's talk about it. And first, I think people want to understand what quantum is. So you can tell us what quantum is. Tell us what's the main idea you're presenting in your book, Quantum Jumps. But before you do that, I just want to state something that, you know, you wrote in chapter Welcome to the Quantum Age, and I thought this was very cool, and I think everyone should hear this. You stated that in this new quantum age, our experience of reality is transformed when we acknowledge we are all connected and that at any given moment there exists an infinite number of possibilities. So quantum jumping and the quantum realm, it's all about experience and the possibility. So please talk to us about that. And as I said, what's the main idea you presented in Quantum Jump?
Well, that's the key of it. Thank you. This idea of quantum jumping comes from quantum physics, but you don't need to get scared about that, just as you don't need to worry about being an automotive mechanic. If your car breaks down, you can trust that people that know how to do these things can take care of it. But you do need to know that cars need oil and gas and so forth. You know, you need to keep an eye on the tires and that kind of thing. And so there's a kind of thinking that comes with quantum physics, and that's what Quantum Jumps is all about, recognizing that the very fabric of reality and the nature of this universe is not as static and stuck as you might have thought it was based on your science classes, where you hear about tectonic plates that move so slowly, an evolution that goes so slowly, and you hear about these things and it sounds like, wow, it's possible to get stuck, you know. And so that mindset can fixate, and you can think that your story is just the story it has been so far. What's remarkable and amazing to me about quantum physics is that there's a fundamental primacy to it. It has to do with the very, very tiny building blocks of matter. And about 100 years ago, back in 1900, a scientist by the name of Max Planck coined the word quantum. And what he meant by it was just a kind of indivisible building block that all matter was based on. So if you look inside of a molecule, you find individual atoms, which then contain electrons and protons and a nucleus, you know, that have, you know, neutrons and protons and so forth. And most of us have seen pictures of such things. Where a lot of people don't go further is what's inside of these atoms. And that's where we get into these indivisible things like a photon or an electron. It just means that you can't break that particle down any further. That's all it means. You don't need to be scared of the word quantum. So it's really simple. I know. So it's not so scary. It's pretty simple. But here's where it gets really exciting. And here's where, and this is the point of the whole book, Quantum Jumps. The idea is that just like you notice some kind of strange phenomena with the quantum world, and by strange, I mean exactly what you're talking about, this connectedness between everything. And so you can do an experiment where you shine a light or make a measurement on one quantum particle, and another one that doesn't seem like it should be connected to that one is. It's what's called entanglement. And just by taking a look at one particle, you get a response from the other one. And now laboratories and scientists are observing this response could happen just like miles away. It could be a long distance. And so there's a connectedness. It's not happening just with tiny little things anymore. There is entanglement that's being observed in things you can hold in your hand, like diamonds. And so we're moving out of the place where you could sweep this little phenomena under the rug and pretend it's not happening, pretend that there's not a fundamental energetic nature to everything, and that pretend that there's not this superposition of states with all possibility available to all of us all the time. Actually, there is. And we now have scientists stepping forward and proposing theories which can be tested, which can be falsified, such as the multiverse theory, which basically, and that's the premise of this whole book, Quantum Jumps, that you've got this infinite range of possibility. You can sense it somehow. And it is, you can jump into a better reality where you're healthier, stronger, happier, have better relationships. Just all kinds of things can improve, and they can improve quickly, not not like evolution or tectonic plates that could take hundreds of thousands of years, but it can be instantaneous change. And this actually is the basis of the way nature works in the natural world. And this is the whole premise of Quantum Jumps, the book.
Mm, wow. Okay. So now, you mentioned in the book, you talked about placebos and the placebo effect in the book. Now, how does the placebo relate to Quantum Jumps?
Okay, that's a great question. Some people, just to, so you can come up to speed, what's a placebo? It means that I shall please. It's basically, that's what the word means. And it was originally invented in the field of medicine so that doctors could know whether they do a surgery or prescribe some kind of medicine, is it going to work? Or how does it measure up against a laboratory trial in which some people get the actual medicine and others get the sugar pill or the placebo? So the placebo was intended to be inert, to be non-active, to have no effect. That's not, in fact, what's been happening. And this is what deserves front page news coverage, in my opinion, and it's starting to get some. What's happening is people are being prescribed placebo sugar pills or injections of salt water or placebo surgery where they're just cut open and the wound is cleaned out and then they're stitched back up. And surprisingly, people are getting better after having placebo sugar pills, salt water injections, and placebo surgery. In addition to that, people are getting better when they're told that you are getting the placebo. This is where it gets really mind... Okay, I know, just hang in here with me. There's some strange things going on. Because as long as you tell people, people actually do get better when they're given a placebo, and you're in the placebo group, so a lot of people get better. You can still see improvements of something like 30 to 40%. For people who have faith in a greater power or a sense of divine source or God or what have you, then you can see improvements up to 70%. This is just nothing short of phenomenal because the pharmaceutical medicines often don't do much better than like 20 or 30% improvement. To see results in the 40, 50, 60, and 70% range is just amazing. And so it presents some questions. And this is where it ties in with Quantum Jumps. What I'm suggesting in my book is that what's really happening is that people are basically quantum jumping, and all they need is permission to make that jump. So you need permission in the sense of knowing that you're in the care of a trusted physician, that a lot of people get better when they receive this kind of treatment. So you're enabling yourself to stay focused on a different reality, a bit different possibility. You're feeling energized, feeling focused, and then you behave as if you're getting better. So you're following the basic steps involved in making a quantum jump by acting as if, by feeling this sort of a detached sense of you're in someone's care. This is why I believe faith is so important, that, that people who feel a sense that they're being cared for. And if you don't believe in God, that's okay. It's good to believe in a oneness or just a sense that there's a connectedness. That there's. I personally do believe in a higher power, in this divine sentiment that's holding everything together. And so I think it's really important, if you have any kind of faith, develop that, you know, build on it, because that can strengthen positive results in your life.
I agree. And that sounds like actually self-expectation, right?
Yeah.
Believing that something can happen. So you believe that, you know, for example, that sugar pill worked, and then you have the faith, and but it's that belief system, your own personal belief system, and you expect something good to take place, and then somehow your body, your mind, it reacts to that.
Absolutely. And that's a great way to look at it, because it's that expectation and the belief. And we often, we don't know what our beliefs are. We don't question them. They're very subconscious. And compared to the conscious mind, that where we think we're in control and we think like you're going to stick to your diet through the holidays or that kind of thing, what's really running the show is the subconscious. And this is where people can throw up their hands and feel like, I give up, I can't handle my subconscious. but this is exactly where it makes a difference to have a positive community, and have a sense of faith, to keep very positive affirmations, to do things that can bolster that level of alignment in your life with your subconscious. Because that really does drive the show. And this gets to the beliefs. This is where people can be so certain of something often without any kind of proof, but it's just the beliefs you have. So when you take a look at what are your beliefs, and are those the kind of beliefs that are helping you, or maybe maybe they're not, and then you can start looking at bringing in some new beliefs that would be perhaps more healthy and more positive for you, for your family, for your community, for the world.
So these new beliefs and these new expectations could change your reality, correct?
They sure can, yes.
Okay.
And I've got a great story. I don't know if you saw it, because you're right, this is a book just packed with information, but I've got a picture on page 123. It's a story about Denzel Washington, and I think it's really a good one. That's why I had the illustrator do a picture for that experience that Denzel went through. This is in chapter 4, where I share quantum jump experiences, and if you don't mind, I'd love to share what happened with Denzel. Cause
please
I think a lot of
do.
Okay, because I think it will inspire people. Because I read it, and it gave me goosebumps, and I just wish that all young children could go through something similar. And sometimes, even if they don't go through such an experience, caregivers like parents and aunts and uncles and teachers can share it. Okay, so here's what happened to Denzel. Now, as you know, he's currently an Academy Award-winning actor, very famous, A-list actor, one of my favorites. And he remembers when he was growing up, things weren't so rosy, because he grew up in Mount Vernon, New York. And this is a time when his parents were so busy and they were working several jobs that he didn't have anybody waiting at home after school. So that could have been a kind of a crisis, because it wasn't the best part of town where he was living. But fortunately, the boys' club was there. And fortunately, when he went to the boys' club, he had an amazing role model there. There was this this gentleman named Billy Thomas, who had an idea. And he ran the boys' club there in Mount Vernon for the kids that were labeled troubled youth. And I guess maybe that sort of included the group that Denzel was hanging out with. So these are the kids that were kind of caught between school and the streets. And so anyway, Billy Thomas had this brilliant idea. And this is where it's amazing, and it is a quantum jumping concept. He expected every young man, as they graduated from high school, and he did expect them to graduate, that they would go away to college. And when they got there, each of those students, those young men, would send Billy the college pennant from their school. Okay, here's where it gets really cool. It started happening because Billy expected it. And as these young boys grew up into young men, and they actually finished high school and actually went away to college, they would send the college pennant, which is just a little piece of felt, kind of a triangle-shaped banner, different colors with the logo of every school. And Billy would hang these up along the wall for all the boys that were still in school that hadn't yet graduated from high school to take a look at. And Denzel remembers, he would look up at those pennants hanging, each one from a different city, a different college. These were from places he'd never heard of. And it gave Denzel this feeling of awe that that people he knew were actually going to school at these universities. And when he realized that, this is where the light bulb went off, and Denzel remembered thinking, man, anything is possible. And so in particular, he remembered there had been a particular student from USC, and this is from a friend of his, Gus Williams, who was a couple years older, and now there he was at USC on a basketball scholarship. And here's where I've got a quote from Denzel. He said, "I'd never been anywhere outside Mount Vernon, but I just stared at that pennant and thought, okay, this guy I know, this guy I grew up with, he's out in California right now on a scholarship. He made it." And then I thought, you know, if Gus can make it, then I can make it too. So the whole, here's the takeaway. If you're thinking, okay, I'm not in a boys' club, I don't have that situation, that's okay. The big idea is just giving yourself and those you're working with an idea of hopes and dreams. You know, what can they dream for? What can they aspire to? And who do they know, you know, who's able to go out there and make those dreams happen? This is a special situation because Billy was clearly being a role model and a mentor for these young men, you know, giving them the hope, the dream, and then that connection. Like, these guys have done it before you, therefore you can too. But I think when we realize there's always room for another good one, you know, and that's another story I share, another quote from the book, because you really can make your way in whatever you feel most passionate about. Wherever your passion and purpose lie,
mm-hmm.
you've got energy there. And you can totally dedicate yourself to making, you know, inroads and getting better at what you're doing and become successful. And it might take a while, might not be as fast as others, and don't get stuck comparing your story to other people's because then you'll go nuts. But just recognize that no matter what's happened, you can play it from the sand trap. You can, you know, no matter where you might feel like, man, I'm stuck, that always happens. We go through phases and everybody gets to a place where it seems nothing is happening. That's normal. And then you just realize, from here, this is just for me to catch my breath, you know, kind of regroup and ask myself right now, you know, what do I care most about? Where's my passion? And that's what the pendants mm-hmm. can represent, because everybody's got something like that. Or there's just something that to you, it would mean the world to you. And other people are
right.
doing it.
That's
so
right.
you can,
that's right.
too.
And you know that also relates to what you stated in your book on page 10 when you was talking about the quantum age. You said we depend upon the fact that many possible realities coexist at every point in space and time. So looking at those, you know, looking at those pennants that you know these other students were sending, that lets you know that there are possible realities. And you as an individual could choose which one you want for yourself. And in your book you talk, and we could talk about that later, how there are many yous and, you know, many me's. So that right there lets you know that there's so many possible realities and you need to figure out which one you want to create.
And that's exciting. Exactly. So even when you're feeling like you're in that sand trap, you know, if you're golfing, that's what happens. The ball can instead of being on the green, it ends up in the sand and then you're kind of stuck. But you're not really stuck. It's just another moment. And exactly, you know, when you realize you can get out of it, you can feel energized. You can find that sense of hopefulness again. You know, find what powers you up, what gives you that sense of enthusiasm about life. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's really the key, is getting to that detached, relaxed, peaceful state and then feeling that all those possibilities are out there. So it's really kind of a place of quiet, which a lot of Americans, we don't do that. We don't often, you know, experience that moment of quiet.
Right.
But that's where everything changes. It really does.
That's right. That's right. You know, and you also stated, and I thought this was cool, you stated that we raise our level of energy in order to experience a better way of life. So that's what we're doing.
That's exactly it. Yes. And so if people are out there thinking, well, it's not coming to me, you know, and they're just waiting for someone to bring it to them, that's not what we're talking about with quantum jumps, because you really do, excuse me, you really do need to, you know, find that inner sense of passion and enthusiasm. And if you haven't found that, then that's just something that you can learn to do. You can learn to raise that energy within yourself. And this is where I'm referring to things like meditation, like
mm-hmm.
prayer, like doing
right.
things that raise you up. And people know what that is. You know what good food is versus the junk stuff that makes you feel worse. But a lot of us need reminders to stay on that path, you know, to keep very positive, to clean up your act. And on an inner basis, all of us really know which way is
mm-hmm.
the best direction to go. We do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Cynthia, as you speak about moving into different realities, you know, it sounds like you're suggesting that. How does this happen? You know, there's adults on the line, parental listeners, young teens, college students, and there's some things going on in their life, and to change their reality would be great. So many might be wondering, how does this happen?
Okay. Well, I actually have spoken with instructors that have, they were ahead of their time, and then they made a moment for that meditative state that I'm talking about. And this is now currently being finally explored in school districts, where teachers are being encouraged to have a moment of quiet. And
mm-hmm.
I had the privilege of teaching some young people just this last summer. And when I was doing that, I always made sure we had just 1 minute of meditation at the end of the class. Makes all the difference. And if I started to forget it, the children would remind me. They would say, Ms.
Really?
Ms. Larson, we want our meditation. Yeah, really.
Wow.
And I said, oh,
okay.
I know. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, no matter how crazy, especially on those crazy days, like here it is, the holiday season, Mm-hmm. And it makes all the difference. And parents, we can do that too. You know, you don't think that you have the time, but what if you only had just 1 minute? And just when you're tucking your child in for bed, that's a great time to do it. Just say, let's just take that moment. Let's be quiet. And you can, and they love knowing that that's a time to clear their mind, to feel that peacefulness, that detached, energized state. This is really the beginning of changing. Actually, it changes the brain, and there's been a lot of research on this. It develops neurons. It increases the brain size. The gray matter increases. And people that do this, even for just 3 weeks of doing just a couple minutes every day like this, you will get lasting positive improvements in your ability to think clearly and see more possibilities. And so the science is showing the same thing that I'm talking about. And I know it may sound kind of far out that I'm saying there are other worlds out there, but this is a time, and I've spoken with many physicists who agree with me, and these are top physicists right here at UC Berkeley, near where I live, that really believe that this multiverse is real and that many worlds is the multiverse and that quantum physics is fundamental. So I know dozens of physicists who really believe that, and we're starting to get a swing in that direction. So there's more and more people are believing that you, me, and everyone else exists in a superposition of states. And what that really means is you don't need to stay stuck where you think you are stuck. You're not really stuck at all.
So now it's all about you what, making the decision, making the choice to change your reality, and then learning what you need to do to change it?
Well, it starts like with automotive mechanics. You first realize these things can happen. And so it's kind of like from a distance, and you're sort of looking at it like, hey, I guess somebody can fix a car. So so that's where it starts. It's just giving the whole idea a possibility. Just open the door a little bit. I know it sounds a bit crazy at first, like all these possible universes out there. But how many of me are there? That sounds insane. Well, the way I see it, there's really just one consciousness. So there's, and that's the real you. The consciousness is the you, the love you feel. That's really you. And then all these realities are, to me, they're a little bit like puppets that you animate with your consciousness, with your spirit. And as you move into them, then you occupy them. Until then, they exist only in the realm of possibility. This is, to me, where spirit comes into the equation. Because I really believe in spirit. I do have a doctor in divinity, and as well as a degree in physics from UC Berkeley. So I'm kind of an odd bird. I'm sort of unusual. I'm very unusual.
No, I love it. I love it. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, so here I am, the person who's assuring you that you don't need to freak out, and it doesn't, because a lot of people are concerned, like, okay, I don't want that many me's out there. I don't want an evil me. Okay, calm down. You don't have an evil you. What you have are possibilities of behavior, you know. So there's a chance, the opportunity for you to go evil, but I would recommend don't do that, you know. Like Chris Rock says in that very funny video, you know, don't do that. You just don't go there. You don't need to do that. You can actually recognize you have the ability to be anything that you would like to be, the president of the United States, or if that doesn't thrill you, a teacher, an educator, which I think those are my heroes, are the teachers, the researchers. I love them. You know, they're my favorite. I love movie stars, you know, because they can teach us through the movies and the stories that they share. So you get the idea. So it's not as crazy as it sounds. It's just recognizing that each of us, we can access that level of conscious spirit and love that we have, but you need to get quiet to really feel it. And so that's how you find who you really are. You find yourself in the quiet. You find yourself between the thoughts, because we're not our thoughts. You know, just because you're having a thought like, and it might not be a good thought. It might be some thought like you're just going to do something that you know is not best. That's not you. That thought is a pattern in the reality that you currently might be feeling stuck, but you're not really stuck there. And this is why kids crave that meditation. This is why they were reminding me, like, oh, gosh, we're in a hurry. I didn't realize how fast class went today. And they're like, no, we want our meditation. I'm like, okay, well, it'll be really short. They're like, yes, and they all sit down and close their eyes. Boom. Never seen anything like it. But you, and this is something, imagine if all the classrooms in the world were doing this today, that every classroom ended with a meditation.
Well, yeah, that would be wonderful. You know, something else that you state in your book that goes, you know, that coincides with what you're stating now is that you stated that, you stated quantum jumping is the process by which a person envisions some desired result or state of being that is different from the existing situation, and by clearly observing that possibility and supplying sufficient energy makes a leap into that alternate reality.
That's right. And that pretty much describes that three-step process that we're talking about. So
mm-hmm.
it may have gone a little fast, so we can break it down and go back through it. Because I think that's really important. You're right.
Yes.
It all starts with that recognition that those possibilities are out there. And so step one is getting, and before you can actually see that all those possibilities are out there, you have to get yourself quiet. It's just like if you're, you know, if you're watching wildlife, and I used to love sitting out in my garden or going to a park and just sitting really still so that I thought if I could be perfectly still, maybe the birds would come closer and, you know, I could really see a lot more than the kids that are running around and making shouting. And, you know, kids like to do that too. But I thought there was something fascinating about what if I could be so quiet and so still that I could really see what's actually going on that nobody else gets to see. So I was like a little scientist as a child. And I would love to do that. And so you can think of it like that. Like, okay, what if reality is amazing and all those possibilities are out there? So I want listeners to, even if they think I'm sounding crazy, just imagine, well, maybe it's true. Like, you can be a scientist and check this out for yourself. You can see if some of these quantum properties of things like entanglement, coherence,
mm-hmm.
superposition
mm-hmm.
of states, you know, scientific things, what if they really happen in your life in the form of synchronicity, intuition, spontaneous, wonderful, like miraculous events occurring that are
mm-hmm.
way beyond anything you ever thought could happen? Okay, so here's how you do it. Step one, you need to attain a relaxed, detached, and peaceful state of mind. And you can do that just by paying attention to your breathing, closing your eyes. This is what we call meditation. You know, it's really not that strange and weird. It's pretty normal. You just close your eyes, and if thoughts come into your mind, then you recognize that's just a thought. That's not who I am. You observe
mm-hmm.
it. You watch it come. You watch it go. And more thoughts come and go, and you just keep paying attention to your breathing, slowing your breathing down and making the inhale about as long as the exhale so that you're breathing in about as much as you're breathing out. And then pay attention to breathing lower and lower down below your belly button. That's just the way babies breathe. And you can,
mm-hmm.
by paying attention, so much attention to your breathing, it actually does help you ignore all that chaos of thoughts that can clutter up your life. Because thoughts that just run through your mind sort of willy-nilly like they tend to do, they're not always so good, and they can cause a lot of chaos. And just
right.
giving yourself time to be quiet without that hustle and bustle of all that thinking can make a huge difference. This is what you're going for. And don't worry if thoughts keep coming through. That's okay. They do that. Your job is just to pay attention to them and realize that you are watching those thoughts, which means you are not those thoughts. If you can watch them and observe them, that's not who you are. That's the key. And this is how you're doing it. So that's step one. Step two, you start feeling energized about those possibilities that are all around you. And that one of them, and you don't even need to know exactly which one it is, but you can feel a sense of excitement that there's something
right.
much better than what you've been currently experiencing in the past. You know, because we tend to dwell on what's wrong and how we had an injury or how someone hurt us or what happened that wasn't so good. So we're giving ourselves a break by stopping thinking about that stuff. And now, instead of dwelling on it, we're actually thinking, how good could it get? You know, what could be better out there? And even if you don't know what the answer is, you can just ask the question, like, I want to find out how good it can get. I want to see what that is. And you can even have an attitude of, I dare you to show me how good it can get. You know? Challenge it. like, oh, yeah? Is this really real? I dare you. You know, show me. I want to see it.
And you know, and that, yeah. But,
yeah.
You know, now, you know, when you say quantum jumping, I'm listening, I hear you, and going into different realities, quantum jump in, help that very, very serious peer pressure?
Okay, when people are telling you that you are something that you don't want to be anymore, you know, or maybe
that's
you
right.
never felt
oh,
like you were.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, then again, you know, there's that behavior of drinking and driving and stuff like that. How do you
right.
change that reality and make sure that you know that there's another you that don't have to get into that car with those people? Oh, you are not the one who's drinking and driving. Oh,
that's
making
right.
decisions that's harming humanity. So that quantum jump in is a lifesaver for everyone, and especially for young adults and teens.
Yeah.
So talk to the teens a
okay.
little bit about using that quantum jump in peer pressuring.
Thank you. Oh, that's a brilliant question. Love it. And thank you so much for mentioning it because, wow, I mean, this you're right. It's like the key to really turning a life around and making a difference
mm-hmm.
between life and death even.
That's so, right. That's right.
Yeah, so I didn't cover step three, which is exactly what you're talking about. Step three is that last step of taking action. So after you clear your mind, yeah, so
mm-hmm.
you've cleared your mind, you energize yourself, you looked at all the possibilities. Now, what are you going to do next? You're going to act as if you're in that new reality. You're going to take that positive action. And then your question becomes so profound. Like, okay, that sounds well and good when you've got all that support. That sounds well and good when everyone's like, oh, yay, you're doing what we thought you'd do. But now, what if you're bucking that trend? What if you're the one person who's saying, no, I'm not going to get into that car? And everyone's like, well, what's the matter with you, man? You know, fun anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're putting up with all that pressure. Or they even start teasing you, you know, saying names
mm-hmm.
that you don't want to hear, reminding
mm-hmm.
you of stuff, that, you know, and that kind of thing. How do you find the strengths? This is a very individual question. It really, because I work as a coach, a life coach, and, you know, different people have different buttons that can get pushed. So for one person, they might already know that they don't care what other people think. Now, that's a rare person,
mm-hmm.
very, very rare, very rare. Because that is like a hero. This is the kind of person, you know, this is why we go to the movies. We want to see Denzel Washington be that person. You know, like, really? Can someone do that? Like, oh, my gosh, he can do it. Yeah. Okay. Well, remember your own heroes. Like maybe you don't know anyone personally in your life that's a hero,
mm-hmm.
but you've seen a movie where that's happened, right? And so you just make that connection because that needs you just need a little bit of help usually. Most of us need that little bit of help. Like think of a role model or mentor that has the courage that it's going to take for you to stand up to that peer pressure.
Mm.
Because you actually do need support. You need to know. If you believe in angels, then know that you've got
right.
an army of angels supporting you. That's what I would
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's the way
yeah,
I do it.
Yeah.
This is how. Do you
right.
wonder how I do it? That's how I do it. So even
exactly.
if I'm cornered, even if I think feel like I'm alone, I know I'm not alone. I've got an army of angels.
That's
that
right. And I love
heaven.
Talking to them.
Yes. Yes. And then you can feel it. I mean, if you're like you and me, then you're like you can feel it. And I
exactly.
have actually
uh-huh.
stood up to when I was a child, a teenager. I stood up twice to a gang of girls. You know, people didn't think that there were girl gangs in white middle-class America. There are.
Mm-hmm.
There absolutely
mm-hmm.
are. And they were doing extortion, all kinds of stuff. And I absolutely stood up to them. And the only way I could do it is knowing that, you know, I may look like I'm alone. I know
mm-hmm.
it looks that way.
mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you carry yourself like you've got that army of angels, believe it or not, the leader of the gang, she just stepped down. You know, she did not challenge me further. It could have gotten pretty ugly, but she backed away. And I think that there's, you know what I'm talking about. I also do martial arts, and
okay.
so when I watch in a tournament, I can actually know when to turn my camera on to record a sparring match, for example, because I can tell, I can read the energy of when someone enters
okay.
that ring.
Mm-hmm.
And you know
mm-hmm.
what? That's the same thing. When you're walking the streets and you're not feeling safe, people are reading your energy. You know, they're
Absolutely.
Always reading your energy. Yes.
That's right. That's right.
But if you want to boost your energy up, you want to have that kind of courage we're talking about, the fastest, best way I know to call on it is to call on that army of angels that you have
mm-hmm.
that will absolutely support you in making a positive change in your life.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what's really, really, I think, is missing from some of our young adults to, you know, today, is making those choices and understanding really who they are and who
yes.
they are. And understanding,
well, they're still trying to find it, yes.
That's right. That's right. I mean, because now you have a lot of problems going on in colleges with you know, fraternity killings and things like that. And you have to at some point make that quantum jump.
That's
in so many areas. And I'm quite sure there are people jumping and don't really realize it.
Yeah, exactly. They don't realize it. And you know, the thing, we're talking about gangs. We're talking about you know, these fraternities. Another problem that happens for a lot of young people is their own families and feeling that it's really hard to stand up, that they don't have the power to stand up to their own family like they need to have that kind of courage. Because sometimes, to be honest, families are not the best environment. And you kind of know that. And if the young people start feeling like this doesn't feel right, like something's wrong here, and because if you're raised in an environment that's not healthy, it can feel familiar, and then you just think that's the way it is. People yell, they do drugs, they drink, they're abusive, you know, whatever. All kinds of stuff that we're not going to go into here. But you can tell. You can. Young people start noticing at some point, like, wait a minute, other families aren't like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they know, it, especially during the holidays, how am I going to face this? You know, how do I have the courage?
And you know what, Cynthia? Go ahead.
Well, I would suggest take it one day at a time. You know, don't ever get ahead of yourself, and know that you always have the resources to deal with whatever you're dealing with. And you've got so many hidden resources, much more than you could ever see. And there's so much power behind that that's there for you.
That's right. That's right. Because there's so many young adults that you're stating that are in those situations. They are in negative situations. And even though they may see a parent or parents or uncles behave a certain way, there's something that's allowing them, or something they found in themselves, in that quiet that you talk about, in that quiet that lets them know it can get better than this. It can be better than this. And if it's better than this, and I know it's better than this, how do I get there? How do the me get there? So they are quantum jumping, because you meet many people, I'm quite sure, and so have I, who you can meet them and they are just one way, and you meet their family and you're like, oh, you came from them?
I know. And you're like, how is that possible? It's like a miracle. I know, exactly.
That's right. I think the movie... You remember the movie? I don't know if you ever saw the movie. You ever saw the movie Matilda?
Yes. Oh, gosh, I love it. That is so wonderful. That is a quantum jumping girl. I mean, yes,
that's
totally.
Right. You see that crazy family, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
She was like,
oh, my gosh.
I know it's something better than this. And she was constantly quantum jumping. When her father said, skull, what? She was like, mm-mm-mm. She couldn't express it. She couldn't, you know, stand up to him in his face. But she knew, you know what? The ignorance is not bliss. And she knew it. And she was quantum jumping. So, yeah.
Yeah, she's a poster child for quantum jumping. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
She had some fun with it, too. Yeah.
That's right. We see a lot of that. Now, what I want you to do, I want you just to touch a little bit on, you know, quantum superposition, quantum coherence and quantum entanglement, because you talked about quantum entanglement a little earlier, and some people might be thinking, what does she mean? So just a broad thing, and then, of course, you tell people where they can get your book and stuff, but start with quantum superposition of states, and, you know, the coherence, the entanglement, and the tunneling.
Okay, so these are physical terms, like you've got tires on the car and oil in the car and batteries and all that good stuff. So we're going to go through some basic quantum properties. I'm using the physical terms from physics. So this is where physicists get very serious, and they don't want these words abused, you know. It's like when you go to the mechanic, and they do not want to see the wrong fluids in the wrong places, you know. You don't mix up the transmission fluid with your oil. Okay. Well, having said that, these exact words belong to everyone, and quantum physics, in terms of how to interpret it, is also open to everyone, because, to be honest with you, the interpretation is still open, and physicists don't yet know exactly what's going on, so there's still a lot of mystery here. So now, what is superposition of states? It's a very technical term, but long story short, it's very much like getting over a cold instantly, which a lot of us have had that experience, where you know you're getting sick, and then suddenly you're not sick. And because he couldn't be sick that day, like he had to go to work and whatever. And then you're just amazed, like, wait a minute, I was coming down with a cold. I know I was. And now I'm not sick? Cool. So that's happened to me lots of times. I get weirder shifts than that. But from the storybooks, if you've ever read Alice in Wonderland and you've seen the Cheshire Cat that kind of disappears and all that's left is the smile, that was kind of like the front runner of what you might have heard of as being Schrodinger's cat. And some people have heard the term Schrodinger's cat, but they don't know what it is. It was just another physics thought experiment involving a cat. It was designed to show what was meant to be the ludicrousness of quantum physics, because it was showing that basically in the realm of quantum physics, the world of the very, very, very small building blocks of reality, you can actually have that building block, that quantum particle, that is in a superposition of states. It can have the spin up and spin down. It's like having a red car and a blue car at the same time. And this is the way quantum computers are currently being designed and built that are using these properties. So, and the only way they can do it is to do macroscopic quantum physics. So that we are now seeing everybody, all the physicists that are working on these projects are agreeing that you can get macroscopic quantum effects because they're going for it. They're doing it with quantum computers. So just like with any technology, you know, the Stone Age began when we started using stone tools, Bronze Age with bronze tools. Then we had the Information Age. We had regular computers, the classic ones. We're about to hit the biggest revolution we've ever seen with quantum computers. And this idea of superposition of states, what it really means for us is we can't think in black and white anymore in terms of true and false, guilty, not guilty. We're getting into a place where it's a world of probabilities. And it's a world where people have cancer 1 minute and the next they've had a spontaneous remission. You know, they might have a broken bone, but suddenly it healed like way faster than it's supposed to ever happen. And a lot of people have had these experiences. I know because I've been collecting stories from around the world for the last 15 years through my Reality Shifters website. It's a free website with lots of stories. And this is how I know these are common experiences. You don't hear about it normally, but I've been a magnet for it, and I've been collecting them, and I know it's happening everywhere. So that's superposition of states. The next one is entanglement. We talked about how we're all connected, we're all as one. You hear about this when you go to church, when you're spiritual, and you feel it when you have intuitions. Like, for example, the phone rings, you already know who's on the line, because even before it rang, you were thinking of Aunt Sally or, you know, or your best friend.
Right, yeah. Everyone experiences that, yeah. Intuition, deja vu, all that stuff.
Exactly. So this entanglement is like the way that all these quantum particles spread through the universe, the multiverse really, are all connected. How are they connected? Once again, I would say it's through a consciousness, through love, through, you know, consciousness / love / spirit. It's who you really are. That's who you really are, and you're part of everything. And you can feel
when
you get into that meditative state. And then you know, you feel a connection to your loved ones, your pets. Maybe you don't love your family because maybe you're one of those people like Matilda. You wonder, how did I get here? But maybe you've got someone like she did, like that wonderful teacher, you know, Miss Honey. You've got Miss Honey, and she's just so fabulous, and she's, you know, a good-hearted person, and you do have a connection with someone. Hopefully everybody has that. And when you feel that kind of entanglement, then the stronger that love is, the stronger the intuition is.
And you know what else, Cynthia? That makes me think of also, you know how sometimes you may enter a place or an area and you feel like, well, I've been here before. I don't know what, but it's like it's so familiar, but you've never been there before, the you that's you, but you feel like, you know, I've been here before.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a tremendous feeling of connection, and it's independent of time and space, because time and space are just measurements. It's like you'd measure a box, like here's the height, the width, and the length. To physicists, time and space are the same thing. You know, time is just another factor, And this level of connectedness we feel is quite independent from anything that you might think of as rational or logical in the classical version of reality, which is very structured and very slow. But I'm telling you, this is not the real reality. The real reality is absolutely quantum in nature. It can change in just like a snap of your fingers, you know, just instantly. And these are the kind of miracles that, if you believe in Jesus Christ, this is what you hear about, you know. You know, I believe those miracles are real, you know, because
that's
I've
right.
personally witnessed a whole bunch of things myself. So it's like, okay, I believe it. You know, you just bring enough energy to the table and you have enough love, of course you can pretty much see any kind of thing instantaneously transform. So
that's right.
And I think we talked about coherence earlier, but the way to think of that one is like a flock of birds moving together. Starlings have scientifically been proven to move exactly like a quantum fluid, and so when one bird turns, 300 birds turn at the exact same moment in exactly the same direction. That's coherence. That's called synchronicity. It's called coincidence. It's where things are moved with such unified connection that it's just like one. So, and I think we're seeing this now with a lot of political movements, with people that are standing up for one another.
That's right.
And
there's a connection. We're seeing it.
Oh, yeah. And you better believe it. And so you don't ever need to feel like you're alone, because you're not. You know, even though you can't see the group that you're connected to, people love you just the way you are. And I mean that for everyone listening. No matter how different you think you are, there are people that are absolutely 100% behind you, supporting you, and absolutely want the best for you.
And you know, it's amazing.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I was just piggybacking off what you said. It is amazing, because when we look at the political climate, it's not only a quantum coherence that we can see taking place in the United States. It has extended. It's to our international families.
Isn't that awesome? And this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It gives me goosebumps. And when you start feeling that.
That's so cool.
I know.
I mean, because
then you start realizing. Oh, sorry. I'm so excited.
Right. when 9/11 happened, I think we all had a day around the world where we took like 2 minutes or 3 minutes of peace and prayer. You understand?
Yes.
I mean, that's deep. I mean,
it
you know how the world would be if we actually did that every day?
Well, more and more people are doing
it. In our society? Wow.
It's happening. I just read the statistic I think it was published in 2013. We now have about, it's like between 8 and 10% of Americans are now meditating or engaging in that kind of moment of prayer. This is peaceful. This is like the protests we're talking about that are peaceful. I'm not talking about those people that are sometimes infiltrating and, you know, they're pretending to be part of that peaceful movement, but they're breaking windows and smashing glass.
Right.
We know who they are, and we know what's going on. And thanks to the internet, you know, the real news gets out there, so people know that there is a peaceful intent, and that's the real purpose, and that will always prevail. We've seen
that energy of love. Yes, it's
always
there.
That's the winner. It has to be, you know,
because
we only win when we all win. And anybody is trying to play and try to claw their way to the top and step on people, that's never going to work. That will not work, cannot work, and it's not long-term, you know, no matter what it may look
like. That's right. It's not long-term. Yeah, that's so cool. Now, just touch a little bit on quantum tunneling.
Right. Okay, this is the weirdest one of all, and I think people may have trouble relating to it because it sounds like, what the heck is that? And I'll make it simple, because I do hear stories about these things too, real firsthand accounts from people. In the quantum realm, with physicists, and what everybody would agree on, is that you'll see occasionally that particles can go right through solid barriers. So you'll have a quantum particle on one side of a wall, and it can go through to the other side. What we're noticing in nature is that quantum tunneling is probably responsible for our sense of smell, for example. So this is one theory proposed by Luca Turin. He's a scientist, and it's not fully proven out yet, but I believe it's very likely true. And we'll get proof of it just in a few years, maybe sooner. But what it involves is, it's like the swipe model of where you swipe your credit card and the amount gets rung up. So it's just recognizing that a molecule of smell, instead of needing to match like square peg in a square hole, that was the old theory of smell. Instead of that, which is proven wrong, by the way, because deuterium and hydrogen should smell the same because they're shaped the same, but they smell different. So anyway, we know that the square key, square hole, you know, that's wrong. So therefore, this idea of tunneling where the scent molecule arrives in the receptor, which excites an electron in the nose, and then that excited part of your nasal receptor jumps from one side to the other, thus indicating to you, the person with the nose, that you've registered that smell. And that looks like that is exactly what's happening. And then if you get into the weirdness, because I love sharing out there stories that really do happen to real people like you and me, people I personally know have been on the freeway and they've had, or on the road, and a car has come right at them, and they know they're about to wipe out. There's nowhere for that oncoming vehicle to go. The next moment, it's on the other side of them. And I've actually talked to a lot of people that this has happened to, and I know it sounds outrageous, and it doesn't happen all the time, but just to know that such things are happening, and these are some of the stories I share in Quantum Jumps, so that it may register some, you know, prompt people to remember, like, oh, my gosh, I know this happened to me or a friend of mine or someone I know, because we need to start talking about these quantum jumps. So because when we do that, more and more of us experience that placebo effect or that Denzel Washington effect, you know, where we suddenly realize, I can go to college, I can get a scholarship. You know, if it happened to someone else, I can do it too. And I'm saying this to you now as a physicist from UC Berkeley, presenting to you the totally outrageous improbability that this entire Earth and our world, the way we know it, exists at all. It is so crazy unlikely. And I'm talking, you know, it's just like billions to one, that everything exists the way it does, that it's called the fine-tuning of the universe. And that's why more and more scientists are coming on board with the multiverse theory. They're believing it's so crazy, unlikely as it is, this must be a multiverse. Okay, and once you go there, then I encourage and invite everyone listening to ask the question, how good can it get? Because we're only going to win when we all win, so let's go there. Let's make this heaven on earth, and that means for everybody, not just for a few.
That's right, that's right. And, okay, just elaborate a little bit on quantum teleportation.
Okay, this is very much akin to, it's like twins with tunneling, you know. So teleportation, quantum teleportation, what physicists mean when they talk about this one is that they can transmit information from one, you know, sort of across distance. And so physicists don't actually mean it's like a teleporter like you saw in Star Trek or Beam Me Up, Scotty. you've seen
right.
that. And, you know, we tend to think, oh, that's teleportation. What physicists, what they're talking about right now is they can convey the information, you know, of Captain Kirk or, you know, one body to another. So the information is transmitted, but not the person. That's what physicists currently mean. Having said that, there are a lot of physicists who believe it will be possible to do the actual teleportation. And this gets right back to that tunneling, going through barriers. It's pretty much the same thing as teleporting, you know, when you think about it. You know, it's sort of like here, now you see it, now you don't. Here it is, now it's there. I believe, and this is what I love doing, is I love looking for the current science reports, like what's coming out next. I'm just waiting outside. Just like a cat outside a mouse hole, like, okay, I'm ready for this science study. Bring it, bring it. I'm waiting for it. And when I do that, then I write a book like Quantum Jumps, and I share with you, here's what we've got so far. So what I'm waiting for still is a lot more information on this teleportation because, you know, this covers weird stuff like bilocation. People have seen me in two places at once when I've been daydreaming. And so I know this stuff happens. My daughters have seen me come into their room and turn on their light, wake them up when I was still in bed. You know, so, and I describe things like that in my books. And I've written more than just this one book, Quantum Jumps, but I've written Reality Shifts. I get into some more of these stories for people that are just really into the experiences. Like I want to read more about it.
That's right. So, I mean, you know, and you know, Cynthia, we have so many things on so many levels. We have, of course, the near-death experiences and things of, you know, things of that nature, the deja vu, and so many things that we kind of like this, you know, we just shrug off, but we don't take time to pay attention to it. But we see it all the time. And if we go back, I believe if we go back to history and study places like Atlantis and all those other places, a lot of stuff was, you know, a lot of things were able to be done. I think we lost a lot, you know, and where we at. I think we lost a lot. A lot of these things that might seem magical were things that were already done. That's why we can do it. It's just that we forgot how to do it.
And when I talk to indigenous peoples, and I've studied this, the way the Hopi Indians talked about the fifth world, and we've seen the end of the world four times already, and they predict it'll end like six times. There'll be seven worlds altogether. You know, that's an interesting way to look at it. But they talk about these things. And so you're not so far off. The indigenous peoples of the world, they know that the world has flooded, like what happened when, you know, Noah built the ark. And it's kind of extraordinary when you look at these stories. And how come they all match up? You know, what's with that?
And how about all those worlds underwater? I mean, it's deep.
Right. That's
I mean,
right.
you know, but...
And so this current world that we're in is very Western, at least we're aware of that part of it. Over in Asia, there's actually much more of a quantum thinking going on, where they think in terms of fourfold logic. They're much more quantum thinkers. They're already aware of the superposition of states, and they're aware of this, the fact you can have true and false at the same time, and not true, not false. It's very different. Here in the West, you know, influenced by European thinking, we've been very much imprisoned in our Cartesian coordinates. You know, we think that the map is the territory, and we get ourselves narrowly fixated on this very structured, very unfortunate, limited version of reality that's not nearly as open and natural and free and wonderful and wild and inviting with possibilities as quantum physics presents. So it's bringing us back to much more of an intuitive state. And you're right, these ancient societies and cultures clearly knew a lot more about this than we currently do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to the extraordinary Cynthia Sue Lawson. And please, please, I encourage all to pick up her book. And the contents, when you open it, you're going to learn so much. She talks about the quantum age, welcoming you to the quantum age, experiencing the quantum realm. Why do we quantum jump? Changing past, present, and future. Quantum jump experiences. How do you get a quantum jump start? Quantum jumps in daily life. And making the leap. Wonderful, wonderful chapter. Questions and answers. People who ask questions. And Cynthia answers the questions. Now, Cynthia, tell us where we can get your book and your website.
Okay. My website is realityshifters.com. And the book I've been talking about the most today is called Quantum Jumps, An Extraordinary Science of Happiness and Prosperity. You can get that book, plus I've written many other books. And I have a meditation CD all available through my website. But you can also find them on Amazon.com. Just look for Cynthia Sue Lawson. And you'll see the books and CD there. And also iTunes has these on the format that you can play electronically. And I've got audio versions of some of the books. Some people don't like to read. They just want to put it on their commuting. Yeah. So Quantum Jumps, you can play it. It's wonderful. You got the whole audio book available, which is me reading it. So it's not somebody hired. It's me who I care so much about this material, which I think comes through. You can hear it in my voice.
So I'll give the website again.
Again, that's realityshifters.com.
And now, is that where you can get the book as well?
Yes, right there. And you can get it autographed if you go through my website. And it's a great gift. Quantum Jumps is perfect to share with your just about anybody. It could be a doctor, a lawyer, people who are skeptical, because I've included so much scientific research that it's designed that you can hand it to someone like that, and they won't think, oh, this is just woo-woo garbage. They'll realize, wow, there's something to this.
Now, here's the question. Now, to the parental listeners and to the young adults listening, and if they're saying, you know, Ms. Lawson, I hear what you're saying, I like what you're saying, and I'm feeling it. Tell me, how do I become conscious reality shifter? Where do I first start?
Right. Well, that's a great question. And this, when you ask that question, obviously, that's the attitude of the show me attitude. You know, the show me state. Like, I want to see it. Show me. Prove it. Well, and that's the reason I've got dozens of really quick, easy, fast, free things you can do. And here's one of them. You can you can demonstrate to yourself that you can be in a better mood, like someday when you're feeling like you're not feeling it, you're not happy, you're kind of pissed off and annoyed with everything, then put a pen or a pencil in your mouth and just curl the corners of your mouth upward. It sounds like nothing, but this is faking it till you make it. It's the field of embodied cognition. Yes, it's science, and it's been proven that people that do this do actually start laughing at jokes and being in a better mood just moments after doing this. It can encourage children who are cranky to try it. You know, it could actually improve the mood there. Things like developing willpower. You can either open your fingers fully, or you can make a fist, and you'll have the willpower to stick with your diet or to say what you need to say. You can also empower yourself to feel more confident when you enter a room. It's been proven to increase your testosterone and reduce the cortisol, the stress hormone, simply by stretching your arms out to the side. You can do this in private, in the bathroom, you know, find a bathroom stall, take a moment to stretch your arms out as full as you can. And even though no one's watching you, the effects are positively noticed by other people for the next hour or so after you've done that. So if you need to go into court or you need to go to a meeting or have a job interview, talk to someone, it's going to be a difficult discussion, you need to boost your confidence, then you can stretch your arms out. And you know, these are called power poses. If you don't have room in the stall to do that, then just put your hands on your hips. If you do have room and you can do it, then lean forward on a desk and put your hands on that desk or kick your feet up on a table or chair. You know, better not to do this in front of other people because people can, it gets taken the wrong way. So you you do this in private and then you enter the room with that much more courage and sense of confidence, and it's measurable. So these are things, if you're in that show-me state, like I don't believe it, go ahead and try these things. And this book, Quantum Jumps, is full of dozens of such things you can do.
Like the Superman attitude and things like that,
That's right.
Yeah. That's wonderful. I love the title of your book. I love The Extraordinary Science of Happiness and Prosperity. I want to thank you so much, Cynthia Sue Lawson, for taking time to help us stand on excellence and helping our young adults. And I, you know, suggest to the parental listeners, please go out, get the book, go to her website, share this with your children, have a wonderful luncheon and invite, you know, young people over, and y'all can talk about it, talk about different chapters. And as I said, you know, go to Making the Leap, Chapter 7. There's a lot of questions and answers going on. And also, Cynthia, you have a lot of exercises in the book, which I think is great, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I want everybody to, you know, follow up on that. But once again, I want to thank you, Cynthia Sue Lawson, for your kindness and for taking the time to help us raise our consciousness. Will you come back again in the future?
I would love to. There's so much more we could talk about. I can feel it. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for taking time to raise our consciousness. Have a great day, everybody. And once again, thank you to our guest, Cynthia Sue Lawson, author of Quantum Jumps, An Extraordinary Science of Happiness and Prosperity. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
fun. This is our spring break. This is our prom night.
It is homecoming.
It's the summer. Let's party. Are just a few things we hear young people say. Unfortunately, some young people forget to think before they drink. And yet again, another car spins around the curve, smashes into a tree or into another car. Innocent people get hurt or killed. Imagine everything changed in a blink of an eye as one fun-filled moment plunged everyone into a night of unspeakable horror, all because of choices and alcohol. That's what happens in the play, Don't Lose Your Head. Let art create a moral change. Purchase Don't Lose Your Head at Amazon.com. $5.99. Holiday special, $2.99 on Amazon.com between December 18th and December 25th, 2014. Counselors, teachers, parents, and concerned citizens, host a Don't Lose Your Head luncheon. Use this play as a catalyst to help young adults make the decision to stand on excellence. Don't Lose Your Head at Amazon.com and visit www.mentoringarts.org.